So glad that the blood of Jesus washes away our sins. Amen. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we're still bloody Baptists. Amen. It's, you know, his life and his death and his resurrection are all important. And without any of them, we would not have eternal life. His death is not the same as his blood. He had to do both. He had to give his life and shed his blood for us on Calvary. What a terrific song. Appreciate the ladies this morning. Well, it's so good to have Brother Ab Thomas and his son Paul with us this morning to speak for us. And Brother Thomas has graduated or went to Tennessee Temple University, been in the ministry now 42 years, has been on the road traveling and founded the Master Clubs. I cannot do it. I said I was going to, this whole week, I was warned, don't mispronounce Master Club. That's just the way it goes. He was director under the leadership of Dr. Lee Robertson of the Children's and Teen Department in the church that ran over 10,000. And now again, traveling, has been in over 7,000 churches, have attended his teacher training and Sunday School Rejuvenated Conferences. And we just appreciate him coming and be a part of the conference yesterday as well as the Master Clubs rally. It's been phenomenal. But his son Paul is going to come preach for us first, and we appreciate him and as he comes this morning. Amen.
Thank you. Let me preach today. My message today, the dream of a big dream. Thou hast you dare to dream a big dream. I could need you on a big dream. A dream, some dream for our family. And I could to work for God. I love God. God answered a free prayer. God answered a free prayer for Noah, Joseph, Esther, Joe, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Asafo, Timmy, Peter, Todd, and James. Dad and me had a big dream, but Toby will lead Math Club to see 100,000 children in Math Club someday. God wants us to dream a big dream. The prophet had that a dream. Let tell the dream. He that my Lord, let him feed my Lord in favorably. So we dream a big dream for God. We dream about more people going to the heaven. We dream about more children and teens going to the heaven. God sent me to dream a big dream. I want you to get to new old. I asked you to save me. He was a sinner. About this, for who do ever, thou call the Lord, thou be saved. About it said, for God to love the Lord, he gave the only begotten Son, that whosoever and believe in him, do not perish, but have everlasting life. About it said, for wasting the death, but give of God eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. About it said, his death, burial, and resurrection. God saved my family. God saved my father, my mother, my sister, and my two brothers. My whole family goes to heaven someday. My fourth point is a dream, a big dream. That point is pray some free prayer. God answer free prayer. In Psalm 39:12, I would say, hear my prayer, O Lord. We had a great God to answer and be prayer, be prayer. God is good to answer our be prayer. God, is you good to me? That is not so bad. I can't still a dream a big dream. I can't still a prayer be prayer. I can't still be the will for God. God, you me in Sunday school, community church, math club, tell my dad it's teacher training. I am a real life preacher for God. I lead songs. I have first time after my church. Father said, the old man found dreams, meaning that's my dad. Your young man found deep vision, that's me. What are you praying for? Something big? God wants his children pray, to be prayer. Number one, the dream of be dream. Number two, pray to be prayer. My third point is, be available a big job. God wants to bless our church. God loves the church. God have some big job for his church. God need you on a take on a big job. Let God more teenagers and more children to reach the ear. I love God. God word, the Bible. I love the Bible. The Bible is God's word. The Bible teach me to love God. The Bible tell me how to serve the Lord. I love my pastor. Two, he's my hero. Number one, the dream a big dream. Number two, pray to be prayer. Number three, be better a big job. Yes, God, he'll help you, and he will. Here's a song I sing. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, cannot bear my burden alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, 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 help me, Jesus alone. Thank you.
Thank you, son. Okay, thank you, son. Now we're going to continue in that thought. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 12. We're going to look at primarily one verse today. We'll read a little short passage that goes along with it. But I want to look there and see just what Paul's been talking about. Not only dream some big dreams, pray some big prayers, be available for some big jobs. But that's what we do as Christians. We find a place that we can serve Him. And we give all of our heart to it. Because it's what is going to build the church. It's what's going to bring people in under the sound of the gospel. And it's there's always a place for all of us. Even someone with Down syndrome can serve the Lord. Sure he can. Sure he can. Nothing wrong. God made him just that way. God knows that. He makes all of us. And there's nothing wrong with him. He doesn't need to be fixed or anything. He is fixed. You know? You're ready to go. And so we make every opportunity available for our son. We're so proud of him. I want you to look at John chapter 12. And let's start down in, verse 23. I want to read about two or three verses here. And then I want you to read one verse with me. And that's the one we'll talk about for the rest of our time. Verse 23, it says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's about to go to the cross. His whole mission is coming to the cross. He's going to save every one of us forever. He'll save whosoever will come. He came for that purpose. He's about to fulfill that. Verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You can take a kernel of little tiny kernel of corn, put it on your mantle for 5 years. It'll lay there just like it is. Pick it up, put it in the ground, and you got multiple kernels of corn. I've heard Dr. Lee Robertson, we were there 20 years. I heard him over and over and over bring this verse. Except a corn of wheat shall die, it abideth alone. But if it die, bringeth forth much fruit. We too are to die to ourself, come alive to God, and will bring much fruit. All through Scripture now, I want to continue here in verse 26. But ye believe not, because, I'm on the wrong page here. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Now, verse 26, let's read that together. Verse 26, John 12, verse 26. You ready? Here we go. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. My, what a verse. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And what a great promise from God. We certainly want him to be with us as we go through this life. We want him to be with us, but here he tells us he wants us to be with him. It works both ways. But you see also in this verse, two big words, if and if. Conditional. Many verses in the Scripture like that. The conditional verse. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Big if. Here it says, if any man serve me, this will happen. If any man serve me, him, that person that served the Lord, my Father will honor. Wow, what a promise from God. Many people, we look in Scripture from one end of the Bible to the other, and we find people who have served the Lord. Matthew was just a tax collector who yet became an apostle. Gideon was a common laborer, became a valiant leader of men. Jacob was a deceiver whose name was changed to Israel. Deborah was a housewife who became a judge. Moses was a sheep herder who stuttered and yet became God's deliverer. Jeremiah was a child, just a child who fearlessly spoke the word of God. Aaron was just a servant who became God's spokesman. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee who became a defender of the faith. And David was this little shepherd boy who took his sling and killed the giant and became the king. Hosea had marital failure and yet prophesied to save Israel. Joseph was hated by his brothers and imprisoned and yet became prime minister. Esther was an orphan who became a queen. Elijah was a homely man who became a mighty prophet for God. Joshua was an assistant who became a conqueror. James and John were fishermen and close disciples of Christ. And we know them as the sons of thunder. Abraham was a nomad who became the father of many nations. And Jacob was a refugee who became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. John the Baptist was a vagabond who became the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Mary, an unknown virgin, gave birth to the Son of God. Nehemiah was just a cupbearer who built the wall of Jerusalem. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Hebrew exiles who became leaders of the great nation of Babylon. And Peter, like me, Peter, the one like most of us, I guess, cursed. And he denied Christ, but later he walked on water. And he preached a great Pentecost message. All through Scripture, Hezekiah was a son of an idolatrous father and became a king renowned for doing right in the sight of God. Isaiah was a man of unclean lips and later prophesied the birth of the Messiah hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened. Paul, he was a killer of Christians. And he became the greatest missionary we've ever heard of, and author of 2/3 of the New Testament. God can use anybody. He can use all of us. I want to share with you just quickly a few modern day, just common people who serve the Lord in a great way. I remember I told the group the other day, I think it was in Master Club meeting, about old Joe, a big, tall, redhead, skinny guy. Couldn't do anything but grow hair, and he was the first preacher boy I ever had. But there's another guy there named Marcel. Now, we're back in the hills of Tennessee, you understand. We were so far back in the sticks. You heard of people from the sticks, haven't you? We were so far back there that's where you came to get your sticks. I mean, we were way back there. We had a place, and I'm not lying to you, we had a place 15 miles up the road called Stupidsville, Tennessee. Who in the world? They had a great big sign, bigger than that right there, that said, "Welcome to Stupidsville, Tennessee." It stayed up for a long time. Finally, they took it down, but that was some place. But we had all those places, you know, Big Leg, Stump Town, and Big Possum, Little Possum. All those places right up there were Chicago, Dallas, Big Possum, Little Possum, you know. It's a wonderful place to grow up. But old Marcel, he was in our youth group, it was a big church, and he had a big youth group. And this young man, a little teenage boy, and he had the audacity to walk in our youth group. Our youth group would be a meeting. We called our youth group where all the teens were there. And he had the audacity to walk in front of his peers. He'd come in the door back there 5 minutes before we ended. Not before we started, before we ended. He would come in, walk around that big group of teenagers, walk right up to the front, and sit down right in front of me, and sit there for about 2 minutes, and get up and go like that at me, and walk out the door. Just a little teenage boy. And he had two of his sisters were sitting there. They were fine, soul-winning young teenagers. His dad was a deacon in the church. And here was old Marcel. But Marcel wasn't saved. Do you understand that? He's been on the mission field for over 30 years now. You look at somebody like that and you say, "I don't know. I don't know about this one right here." But we talked about you've got to see potential when none can be seen. The little kids in your neighborhood like that, you look at them and you say, "Man, I wonder what's going to happen to him. And I wonder what will happen to him unless somebody like us reaches him." You know? So even adults, you see adults like that and you say, "Man, how did you get in the shape you're in?" They need Christ to get out of the shape they're in and go on with their life, you know. But old Marcel was one of them, just one of the most disgusting teenagers any youth man could look at. And yet he's been on the mission field a long time now. I remember a guy I met in the Bahama Islands. He was just a jack of all trades. Here was a man that is one of those guys that can fix anything, do anything, make anything. And here I am. I can't even find the screwdriver, much less which way it goes. But we just call him a jack of all trades. And he had finished his career and was retired and yet wanted to do something better for God than he'd been doing. And he became a missionary. And what he did, he would get on the missionary flights. We took our teenagers to the islands two or three times. And he would get on a missionary flight that goes to each island. And they take the mail and they take supplies and everything. And then he would go to the next island, all down through Florida and all the Caribbean there. And that's what he would do. So he would get on a flight and go into an island, get off, and help the missionary. He'd stay there two or three days, fix everything that didn't work. And man, I mean, I saw that missionary where we went. I saw them stand there as he was ready to get on the next flight and go to the next island. And there he'd been there 2 days, and I mean, just tears just pouring down their face. "Thank you. Oh, God, thank you for bringing this man here. Oh, Lord, he's helped us so much." Man, never preached a sermon in his life. He talked to somebody about the Lord, but never stood in the pulpit. And yet God used him in a way that nobody else through those islands were used like that way but him. But he had something in his hand. He had an ability, and he didn't want to just sit down and do nothing with it the rest of his life. And so he gave his life to God, and what a mighty work. And I saw another man in Canada the same way. We took one up there the same way. He fixed a Bobcat bulldozer that hadn't run in 3 years. He fixed two dump trucks that hadn't been on the road in 2 years. He fixed every electrical problem they had. A big old camp there that they met a lot of Indians up there in Canada area. And those missionaries stood there, and he and his wife just tears just flowing off their face, trying to thank him enough for coming on that trip and doing what only he could do. God can use any of us, you know. I remember the day I finally got it right with the Lord and started on my trip to serve Him. And I got out of high school. I went to 1 year of college, and the guy got me a job down in Florida. And I used to dive in those old rivers up in Tennessee. You hardly ever saw anything. I was only one town, had a mask and flippers. And got down there, and in Palm Beach area, is a quarter of a mile of the shore, the Gulf Stream comes in. That dark blue, crystal clear water. And I fell in love with that stuff. And got in clubs where we go in diving clubs. It's all free diving, no tanks, just holding your breath and all that. But it was back, some of you remember, some of you won't even know this, but there was a time when there was no sports on Sunday. No what? There were no sports on Sunday. The only thing us sports guys had was Wide World of Sports on Saturday on TV. That's the only thing. But there came a time when sports started to go from Saturday into Sunday. Now we're filled to the brim. Our tournament started going from Saturday to Sunday. It took me out of church. I'd been in church all my life and was going there every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and so on. But our tournaments went into Sunday afternoon, and I would be out there diving many times in the heat of a competition where you go down, you have certain categories of fish and all this kind of stuff. And I'd be 70 feet down. I remember many times on a Sunday afternoon, I would close my eyes, be going after a big old red grouper or a snapper and trailing him down and trying to get a shot at him. And I'd be in such conviction for being there on Sunday when those that loved God were in the church on Sunday. And I was there and down there, and I would stop on the bottom, close my eyes and pray and ask God if He'd forgive me for being there on Sunday afternoon. But the problem was, I'd open my eyes, shoot the fish, and keep on fishing. See, I wanted forgiveness for my sin, but didn't want to stop my sinning. Skin diving wasn't the problem. I was the problem. It was the time and the place was the problem. And yet one day, I asked God if He'd forgive me for that, if He'd get me to the top. I looked up, and you couldn't hardly see the boat up there. And I said, if You'll get me back to the top, I'll never do this again on the Lord's Day. That was on a Sunday afternoon when I got home. And when I got home on Monday afternoon, a little Baptist preacher knocked on my door. He'd won my sister and her family to the Lord over there, and they told him where I lived. He knocked on my door and came in. He hadn't been in my house 5 minutes, not 5 minutes. And he just looked me right in the eye and said, "Brother, Mr. Thomas," he said, "has there ever been a time in your life when you received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Have you been baptized since you've been saved?" I said, "Yes, sir." He just looked, that's all had been said. He looked me right in the eye and said, "Since you're a child of God, what are you doing to serve Him?" And I mean, big old tears came in my eyes, and I hit the floor just a bawling. He was right beside me. And the next Sunday, I was a youth director in this church. He only had three. He had three teenagers. My sister had three teenagers. So I started out with six teenagers as our youth group. And that was 44 years ago. And don't think I missed a day yet. I'm trying to do something to serve the Lord. God can use any of us. Paul can. They can use a little guy like Paul. He's already told us how he feels about his creation. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He man. Male and female created He them. And so did God make a mistake with my child? No, He didn't make a mistake. A Down syndrome child is God's creation. God said, "In the womb I knew you." He knew He was given an extra chromosome. But God graced our home in a marvelous way. That valley, so to speak, of what we thought we might go through has become our mountaintop. Paul's constant love is just, it shows me God's love. It never stops. It never ends. It doesn't matter how kind I am to him. He's always kind to me. And I know one thing, you'll never outlove a Downs child. You'll never outlove them. They'll beat you to it every time. It's amazing. See, a bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. And sometimes it's that same way in our life. And let me look at a couple of others here, missionaries. How many of you ever heard the, I read a book on the missionary Sophie Muller. Anybody in here? Sophie Muller. Didn't think so. Hardly anybody's heard of her. You don't see a book in the library or in a bookstore on it. Sophie Muller, she wrote a book called Beyond Civilization. You might find it on a search engine somewhere. Beyond Civilization. Man, what a lady. She was saved on a street corner in New York City. Jack Wurtson, back in those days, who started Word of Life up at Scroon Lake, New York, he was having a street meeting on a corner in New York City. I mean, buses going by and all the noise and everything. And he and his wife were there and some more with him. And he was preaching the gospel. And along came Sophie Muller up the sidewalk. Well, she stopped because she knew Marge Wurtson. And she stopped a little bit too long because Marge took her aside and led her to Christ. And here she was, a very accomplished artist in New York City. She was well known there, a publisher, a major publisher, did all of her works. She attended church Christmas and Easter. So she was saved there on the street in June and off to Bible school in September. And before he knew it, Brother Wurtson heard that she was gone to Colombia, South America, to work in the jungles. And that was, at that time, it was so far from civilization, it'd take a year and a half to get a letter back. They'd write a letter to her, and a year and a half later, almost exactly, they'd get a response back from her. And finally, one day in all their travels, he traveled a lot, and he met her in a Miami airport, and she was on her way back. And he said, why are you in? And she said, well, they wanted me to come see the doctors here. And said, well, what'd they say? Well, I got so much wrong with me, I guess I'm incurable. And he said, and you're going back? Oh, she said, I can't wait to get back. They love me over there. He said, she said, they tell me it takes several thousand dollars to get buried here. Well, they'll bury me for free over there. Won't cost a thing. And so she's headed back. And so he sat down and talked to her. He said, how many missionaries are down there with you? How many missionaries? None. There's never been anybody in that part of the jungles but me. None. Just a little lady. How many believers do you have there now, Sophie? Oh, about 12,000. She said, if we count them like you count them here in America, we'd have a whole lot more. He said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, we don't even count them until they're baptized, stop their smoking, stop their drinking, stop their dope, and stop their dancing. We don't even count them to them. About 12,000. How many churches? 240. One lady? 240 churches? Yeah. Yeah. The only missionary that ever been in there. She had to learn their language. Had to actually do their own alphabet and put down on paper, teach them their own language, then translate that in the Bible in tribe after tribe after tribe. And that's what she did all of her life. But there was a day when she stopped and came to Christ and said, now, dear Lord, Sophie, can you use me? Oh, yeah, yeah. Got the perfect place for you. Have you ever read a story about Gladys Allward? Gladys Allward. Got to get some missionary biographies in here somewhere, in a library somewhere. Gladys Allward, I mean, I'll just give you a couple touches on her life. She said she couldn't find anybody to send her to the field, so she said, I want to go. I want to go to China. She only knew one person in China, a lady that had an inn, a big inn there, where people would stop and stay like a, we would think of a motel type thing today. And during the, at night, they would tell Bible stories to them. That's how they witnessed to them. But only one Christian and one American in the whole province that she was going to. And she said to the Lord, she said, "Here's my Bible, here's my money, and here's me. Dear God, can you use me?" "Oh yeah, yeah, glad got a great place for you." She had enough money to about 2 weeks travel to get to China. And it was stolen before she got there. She was robbed of all of her clothes. During her period of time, I can't go into all the things, marvelous, marvelous things God did there. But one thing, she cared for 200 orphans. She brought 200 orphans in and cared for them. Just her. She was forced to watch 200 Christians beheaded because of their faith in Christ. They made her watch that. Marvelous life. Margaret Stringer. She lives up in South Carolina now. Been on the field for 40 years. She went into Dr. Robertson after she graduated from Temple. And she said, "I want to go where nobody else will go. I want to go to the headhunters." "The what?" "The headhunters." "A little lady?" "Mm-hmm." "Just by yourself?" "Mm-hmm." "The headhunters." They took her there and put her out on that land, that clearing where one of the villages was, in a helicopter and wouldn't even land. They found a big tree kind of slanted upwards, and they brought her down as far as they could. She got out, shimmied down the log. And within 5 minutes, she was in the what's called the longhouse. That's where you cut up the bodies and you eat them. And as soon as she hit the ground, here came the natives, the naked natives, screaming with their spears and drums and everything right at her, and took her to the longhouse on that clearing. And that's where it's the end. But not with Margaret Stringer, because God was with her. She spent 40 years there. 40 years. "Lord, can you use me? I'm just a lady. I'd like to go in where nobody's gone with it to touch these people." "Oh, yes, Margaret. Yes. Yes, you've got what it takes. I have a perfect spot for you." Wow. The perfect spot for her. Spent 40 years there. But for all of us, if we'll just ask that question, God will answer it for us. We can't say, "If I only had someone else's ability, if I could only sing like somebody else, if I only had his money, I could do this or that. If I only had her personality or his brains, I could do a lot of things." Well, God didn't make you and me to be him or her. He made you to be you in his hands. Look at your verse again. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." I met a young man a few years ago. He was born with no legs, no arm. He had one half of one arm. Now, what can a person do like that for the Lord? He's an evangelist. Talks to youth groups all the time. Sees lots of people saved. It's marvelous what God can do. "But Lord, I have no arms or legs. I'm paralyzed from the neck down. Lord, I have Down syndrome." But God says, "So I made you. I know that. Now serve me and I'll be with you." And for those of us who are older, we're past our physical agility. Some of us are. We can't run up and down the in games, and we can't take kids on marches and out in the woods anymore. We can't do that. They'll have to carry us out and carry us back if we went with them. We're a little bit past that stage. God can help us. I went to the doctor a couple of years ago, I guess now, and he gave me a diagnosis which I had. And it was when he got through, I just looked at him. I didn't know what to ask. I still didn't know what I had. I said, "Will you say that again?" And he did, and I still didn't know what I had. I said, would you have your one of the ladies type that out for me? Here's what I had. I had a type 2 acromion with mild to moderate degenerative change and mild anterior and lateral downslope. I had that. The cuff is diffusely hypertrophic and tendinopathic with moderate to severe peritendinitis, the result being outward related cuff impingement. Furthermore, interstitial degeneration without focal fluid defect to suggest a partial or full thickness tear. You know what the problem was? My arm hurt real bad. I could have told him that before I went in there. But that's what I had. Now, what in the world you do is if you have something like that? So sometimes we get to that place, you know. We can't do it everything like we always. But you still have your accumulated knowledge and wisdom and understanding that has come from walking with God for 40, 50, 60 years. You have answers from God because you've seen it in your life. There ought to be some place around here you can share that. And share that wisdom. My. You still have a vibrant prayer life. It can be vibrant. Prayers of greater faith than ever before. Bigger prayers than you've ever prayed before. Get behind this pastor and this staff and this church and teachers and workers and get all the names of your teachers and pray God's power down on them as they study all week long and as they stand there and they try to explain and clarify God's Word. Oh, what it's life-changing to be a teacher for God. They need your prayers. They need somebody praying for them all week long. You still have great value in God's sight and in this church. The most harmful beliefs we have are our self-limiting beliefs. We put limits on ourselves that are not really there. I don't have a right to put the lid on my life. I want God to do that when I'm through. He's through with me. So where is the faith factor in my life? The faith factor. Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Faith is above and beyond. Faith is above and beyond my ability to accomplish within my own self or my own resources. When you and I came to the Lord, we didn't do a thing about it but come. He had already done it all. I didn't have to believe. You talk to little kids sometimes. They don't know what you mean when you believe. How do you believe? You go, I believe. Is that how you do it? Well, what if the next kid in that chair says, I believe? God just wants us to believe, to come to Him by faith and live our life that way. So I want that faith factor. Faith should also be big enough for our kids to see. Parents, your faith ought to be big enough for them to see. Grandparents, your faith, you've been here longer than parents have. So your faith ought to be even greater for them to see. Now to see God working in you. So what a beautiful verse we have there. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. What a thought to be in the presence of God at all times as we're serving Him. If any man serve Him, Him will my Father honor. Wouldn't it be a great thing to go to the judgment seat of Christ having served Him with all your heart? You found a spot and you gave yourself to it. Teenagers, you need to do that early in life. Turn yourself over to the Lord and He'll start using you right now. You'll have a great influence on your peer group. You'll have a greater influence even on the children under you because who they want to be is a teenager. You have an influence the rest of your life. Only one life, and this is it. But we still have something going for us. We have time. We have time to correct anything that needs to be corrected. And we have time to get everything right with the Lord. So what's our message for today? If you're young, begin serving the Lord today. Ask God if He could use you today. If any man serve me, let him follow me. If you're in your 20s and 30s, start serving Him today. Find that place. The young married couples, singles and young marrieds today in Baptist churches are the fastest growing group in Baptist churches. If you're in that category, maybe you could help this church grow in that area right there. Most churches are growing. That's the fastest growing area because they're reaching out. If you're older, you realize that life is short at best. And God can probably use you now even in a greater way. Because you've trusted Him this far. You've seen what He can do. You believe Him. And you're still alive. Dear Lord, Gladys Allward said, here's my Bible, here's my money, and here's me. Can you use me? Yeah, got the perfect place. Are you without Christ today? Let's bow our head right now. Are you without Christ? Maybe you've come to church all the time and without Christ. I've talked to many, many students who've gone through a church just like this. Godly family, godly church. They've heard it all. They go away to a Christian college. And 2 years later, they still don't know for sure if they know Christ. You can know for sure if you know Christ. You can know. And God can help you with that this very moment. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's His promise to you. You know, you're never more than one prayer away from making everything right with God. Isn't that an amazing thought? Every one of us today, we're only one prayer away. Dear Lord, we're that close, some of us, to being saved today. Dear Lord, some of us could give ourselves to Him today. Dear Lord, some of us are that close to full surrender, not hanging on to anything that we've been hanging on to, but full surrender to Him. I could be the great, biggest gossip in a church, and I'm that close to getting it all out of my life. Dear Lord, I'm that close to getting everything right. And if you're an unbeliever today, if you've never really believed, or you're not sure of that, come and let someone help you with the Scriptures. See, to die as an unbeliever means to die without God. Go to a place without God, to be forever without God. Without God, that's the consequences. Forever without God, it'll pay a heavy price. But it doesn't have to be that way. Dear Lord, I'm that close to having Christ as my personal Savior. Dear Lord, I'm that close to finding that place, that perfect place to serve You the rest of my life. And Father, would You help us now as we begin our invitation time that we might serve You with all of our heart in Jesus' precious name.